Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hi, I'm Yusuf Dahl, and when I was 18, I was convicted of selling drugs. For the past 3 years, I've had difficulty finding housing because it is legal in the United States to discriminate against individuals that have a past drug distribution conviction on their record for life. It doesn't matter if it was a hard drug like heroin or a drug that's now legal or partially legal in many states across the country. Like marijuana. The Thurman Amendment was introduced to the Fair Housing Act in 1988 by segregationist Strom Thurmond, and it's since been used to deny housing to all people. But because people of color are disproportionately jailed for drug charges, we are affected more. My goal is to overturn this amendment to start an end to housing discrimination that unfairly targets people of color. If you would like to join this movement, please visit ThurmanAmendment.org to learn more.
A message from the Fable and Folly Network.
Welcome, Moonbasians. We're counting down to our August 18th release date now, really only days away from expanding the world of the show for you. Adding all these exciting new characters, as well as the actors who portray them in some pretty wildly wonderful ways, I have to say, has just been incredibly rewarding for me. When you tell a story like this, one of the things that fascinates me most is the relationship between the actors and the characters they portray. So as a bit of a further teaser while you wait for season 2, I thought I'd ask each of them to say a few words about what they've put into that work. I hope you'll enjoy getting to know each of these performers a bit better, and I hope it'll whet your appetite for what they're bringing to season 2. So let's just get into it. Of course, we're beginning with the heart and soul of the show, my buddy. The one and only Mr. Leman Kessler.
Hi, I'm Leman Kessler, and I am playing Roger Brigado Fisher on Moonbase Theta Out. This has been a really fantastic project to be a part of. When DJ approached me about it, I really wasn't sure what it was going to look like or kind of what the shape of it would be, but it's similar to an interesting little independent writing project I did years and years ago about a guy trapped on the moon, writing these really sort of passive-aggressive sort of notes about being on the moon and hating it. So I was able to kind of pull that back out and apply some of that. And I think that probably accounts for any of the, I don't know, more tongue-in-cheek elements. I mean, DJ has obviously comedy written into this piece, and it's, you know, there's this really good give and take of the dramatic with the comedic. But I think if there's anything I tend to hammer that the comedy, the stuff that's sort of absurd in the midst of all the kind of just awfulness that's happening to this poor guy. And I have a lot of fun, you know, really. There's not a whole heck of a lot of preparation that comes into this. You know, I'm not sort of sitting around wondering what Roger's having for breakfast in the morning. When I go to record, I just read what DJ's given me. And I think it helps that DJ and I have an idea at this point, kind of his rhythm and the way he plays with words and the way he chooses words. And I think we also just get each other. We get our sense of humor. We get our sensibility. And so that makes it a lot more easy to do. And makes it a lot more fun. So this has been a really remarkable project. I'm really excited to have fellow castmates now and to, you know, hear their work and the way they're playing with these characters who, you know, up until, you know, for all of season 1 were just these, you know, phantoms that I was referencing. I was having to kind of conjure up in my head. But now they have their own voices and they have their own sort of animating drive and force. And that's really exciting. And I'm really happy to get to have people to play in this world with. And I'm really grateful to them and to DJ for bringing us all up to the moon. It's been a blast.
Now, you all knew Leman, or at least Roger, fairly well before this. But moving to our next performer, Let's hear from the voice that will be answering back after all this time. It's Alexandre Brigado Fischer, Gabriel Tanico, talking about his connection with the character.
The process I came up with for creating him is actually pretty damn simple, you know? I mean, he's your typical worried husband. He takes care of the house. He takes care of everything. He's the brains behind the operation at home. He's a loving father of two beautiful female dogs. He's the loving father of a garden. Yes, fathers can be fathers of gardens too. Bite me. Just kidding. But yeah, he actually resonated a lot with me, not only because, you know, he's Brazilian, he's gay, I'm bisexual, but I wanted to think of a voice that wasn't too stereotypical, like, oh, obviously I wanted to have something that felt realistic, but didn't feel too far-fetched, too distant from what one would expect from someone like Alexandre. And I just basically thought of one of my best friends from high school. He was never bullied at school, but he had that, you know, he had the very flamboyant gay style a lot of kids have when they're coming out, when they're figuring things out about themselves. And people would always kind of look at him funny, but he was always such a nice guy to absolutely everybody. And I think no one really cared. So I used to talk to him a lot until we eventually became best friends. And he actually talked exactly like I talk as Alexandre. Like a very, very, very imposing, but also kind of shy and kind of scared. Like, oh my God, what are you doing? It's kind of hard to explain the idea I had in my mind, but that's basically him. My best friend from high school, one of my best friends from high school, he's Alexandre. Wow, he is Alexandre. He's just that guy, and I'm just damn well gonna be him for this character. And boom. Worked like a charm, worked like magic. It was beautiful, and it was so much fun. I just couldn't. It's kind of a break from the usual characters I play. I usually play characters that are a little more cynical, a little more dastardly, more evil, because I'm a dastardly person myself. No, just kidding, but that is really far from the usual character I portray. So it was. It was refreshing. It was nice to play something that I don't usually play often. And ultimately, in the end, it was just a great character that I felt really reflected how I feel about things sometimes. And I worry a lot. I sometimes talk a lot too. I'm Brazilian. I'm Brazilian. Yeah. But in the end, Alexandre is now going to be forever a part of me and who I am, and I'm going to carry him throughout my entire voice acting life, my entire regular life. And I really hope everybody who listens to the podcast enjoy what I created for him.
Moving back to our moon base and the crew there, you may recall Roger has a bit of a nemesis in a certain base security officer. Well, here's Cass McPhee to talk about how he created this antagonist for the show.
I'm Cass McPhee, and I'm playing Michelle Langlois. Michelle has been very interesting to kind of get my head around because he reminds me a little bit of what I was like when I was a little bit younger, though I was never quite so much of a dick. but a lot of the things I think that are fueling his dickishness are things that I relate to, and I just take them in another direction. I go the opposite way, where I desperately need to be liked, and he goes the other way, where it's like, yeah, well, I don't care, fuck you. So it's been interesting kind of thinking through where he comes from and kind of what's fueling that that defensive layer of sort of like, you know, I don't care about what you think, old man. One thing that I found myself doing that I didn't necessarily set out to do, but that I kind of liked, was now and then I found myself slightly emulating Roger's way of speaking in just tiny little ways, especially for more official kind of things. And I kind of like that because I think Roger and Michelle have a little bit more in common than either of them would like to think, at least just from kind of having a little bit of unrest in their younger lives and, you know, trying to find a place where they fit. So I thought that was one of those ways that very subtly, you probably wouldn't even really know if you weren't listening for it, to kind of just show a slight kinship between those characters that have so much animosity. It was a little intimidating coming at Michelle because Roger, of course, being our window into this world for season one, you have to like Roger. Like, I can't imagine anybody not coming out of it feeling pretty sympathetic to him, and obviously taking his point of view of Michelle. You go into it probably not expecting that you're going to love this dude, right? So because I have a sort of desperate need to be liked, it was really difficult to kind of not worry about that for Michelle. It's like, you know what? People might not like you. That's kind of what it is all about. And Michelle doesn't care. Clearly, he's not a complete lost cause, because otherwise, why would Nessa be interested in him at all? Like, he can't have just been that hot, right? Like, he must have some charisma. He must have something going for him, right? So I just had to trust that my own sort of general likability would transfer through into the character. That was another thing that was a little bit tough about Michelle, was it's very rare that I've gotten to play a character that just has my voice, where I'm not necessarily trying to do a voice. I play a lot of D&D. I'm a DM. I love playing different characters and doing accents. And I always find anytime I've done improv or anytime I've done any sort of acting, I tend to want to put on an accent or an affectation of speech, almost like a piece of costume, like put on a mustache, you know, and then you feel like somebody else. And that's me with accents. And that was really the only real specific note that I got after getting the part, and I met with Deej and Alyssa, and we went over some of the scripts, was that just take Michelle down to just being you. Don't play a character, just be you. And I was like, I get to do that. That's a thing that I can actually do. So this has been a great experience to kind of figure out exactly what that means, exactly what my voice sounds like. I'm not trying to be or sound like somebody else. I'm just acting, and it's a lot of fun.
Cass mentioned getting to meet up in person. As both he and Elisa Park happened to be in the Toronto area with me, we got to do some directing work and have a good conversation about their characters face-to-face. And they're both doing some really amazing stuff I can't wait to share with you. Here's Elisa talking about the work they did on a character who came in with an awful lot of emotional baggage for this season.
My name is Elisa Park, and I had the very cool good fortune of voicing Nessa Chong in MTO. Moonbase Theta out. Peace signs. You can't see, but that's what I'm doing right now. What can I say about Nessa? She's a much more mature character than some of the other cast members. Like, she's definitely more mature than Michelle. She's a little bit older than him, and I think wilder as well. And with it comes a lot of experience. So she's been through some hard times and some good times, and through all of her experience, she's become very secure in who she is. So everything she feels and everything she expresses is just confident and honest and 100% her, which is like a very cool thing to get to experience through playing this character. She's like very easy to read for, I find, because she's such a genuine person that, like, when you're reading the script, everything she says just feels naturally what it would be if you were just saying those things. Like, when you're talking about your family and friends and the people you love, or you talk about feeling guilty, or you talk about hard experiences, those are all just like so straightforward with her, because she's not afraid to feel any emotions, whether they're good or bad or messy or whatever. She just is the way she is, because she's had to live and work hard to be able to feel that way. At least that's kind of how I see her. And hopefully you'll be able to hear that in my performance. I had a lot of fun recording for her. I feel very lucky to have been involved in this project. Again, I hope everyone listening really enjoys Moonbase Theta Out Season 2. I cried while recording. I hope you will cry also. And I hope you have a good summer, or whatever season it is that you're listening to this in, whether this is in the future or you're just like in Australia or something. And I guess like have a good life in general, regardless of seasons. Bye.
I have to start my next introduction by saying that when Tina Daniels sent me her bit for this promo, she titled the file Wilder Ramble. There's something about Tina and Wilder both that seems to come out in this full-bore tumble into words and random thoughts, and it's really charming and really delightful, and it's added so much to my story.
I'm Tina Daniels, and I play Wilder, and oh, it's been so much fun. I think a lot of it has surprised me about her, because like when I got the sides for it and I tried out for the part, you know, I didn't know much about her at all. So I literally, like, this sounds terrible and I'll own it, it's fine. I was looking at the sides and the way they were written, like, you could tell that it was meant to be read with some sort of an accent, like, you know, the countryish laid-back accent. And I jumped on it because all growing up, I had, like, the lazy Oklahoma accent. And I would try to talk in such a way, not like completely like stuck up sounding, but I would get to the point where I would try to avoid having that Oklahoma accent. Like it got to the point where it was ridiculous, the type, like the effort that I would go to. I wouldn't say wrestling because I was afraid of it sounding like wrestling. So I would say like, it came out sounding like my wrist, like wrestling, like because I was trying to avoid that accent so much. And it's so funny that I'm having such a good time with it now. Like I was like, yes, I can do that. And I got it like absurdly enough. But like it was my mental picture of Wilder at the when I first like started work on her, like nothing compared to what it is now. And I think I was over exaggerating the accent a little bit. And I just had this, I hate to admit this, but sort of like a two-dimensional mechanic-y like stereotype in my head of her. And as we did more of it and like we got to hear from her more and we brought her to life and we went back and forth with like the scratch tracks and the redoing the episodes, that I started to kind of have a better appreciation like for her. And it wasn't just like this comedic, like she fixes things and she makes jokes. Like she is such an interesting character, and she's very much not like me at all. Like, I am a bundle upon bundle upon bundle of insecurities, and she is so not, like, not saying she doesn't have them, because, like, they're definitely there, but she's just very loud and very, this is who I am, and y'all are just gonna have to deal with it. And I love that, and I want to be Wilder when I grow up. Like, that's been not difficult, but it's been like the hardest thing to try and grasp, like just to get in that mindset of this is who I am. I mean, I like memes, I like bad jokes, and just that's, she knows who she is and she's comfortable with it. And I love that. And it's been a blast. Like, oh, and she's so smart too. Like, not in the way that everybody else is. Like, she's not up there, like, doing the science experiments and talking the, like, yeah, I'm not even smart enough to, like, explain to you all the ways that she's not smart. Like, but she knows, like, she knows what she needs to know. And in her field, she's like, okay, A, B, and C need to get done. We're going to do A. We may not have everything to do B. Like, she knows what needs to get done and how to approach it. And she's so driven. She knows what she needs to do and she's going to make it happen. And oh, I love that. She's just, it's great. And I like that it's a contrast to like the scientists and all that smarts, because it's like, it's still good. Clearly it helps to have like a mix of people with the different talents and the different abilities. And it just really works and pays off. Oddly enough though, like everything else she does, like the whole subplot with her and the tardigrades and just everything about that. And I'll just, as you listen, you'll know, like, everything is so on brand. Like, we got the script for the podcast month episode and I'm reading through it and I'm just like, okay, like, and I get to like all of Wilder's stuff that happens. And I literally threw the script on the floor at one point and I'm like, of course that's what happens. Because if that were me in that situation, I would have done the exact same thing. And I just cackled, like I literally cackled. And I'm like, that's perfect. I love her. This is amazing. Yeah, it's been a lot of fun and I've enjoyed playing her. I'm going to wind this up, but just Wilder's a blast and she's my favorite and it has been an honor. I love her.
I really like what she said in there about the different types of smart on Moonbase Theta, particularly since it gives me a smooth transition point to the next actor we're going to hear. Tozamon on playing the base's resident reclusive super genius.
Hi, my name is Tozamon, and I am playing the role of Dr. Ashwini Ray. Ashwini Ray is this astrophysicist aboard the moon base, and I had so much fun breathing life into the character. So she is very eccentric and spends most of her time up in her lair or laboratory, as it were, going back and forth with this artificial intelligence named Tumnus. And I had so much fun playing opposite Jen Ponton, who plays Tumnus, and you know, the two of us got into a very good rapport with each other, which was really, really interesting. You know, how do you, you know, have a conversation with essentially a robot? And one of the source materials that I wanted to take a look at were actually the Jurassic Park movies. I kind of wanted to take a look at how, you know, Jeff Goldblum has this devil may care attitude and how he uses his voice. But I also wanted to work in a little bit more of the zany. So I also took a look at, you know, Willy Wonka and I guess tried to merge the two together. It's up to you how well that came out. But I'm really excited for you to give it a listen.
It tells you a lot about the lovely and generous nature of Toe, that they also gave a bit of time to introducing their co-star for the Ashwini scenes. The back and forth between these two has really been one of my favorite discoveries in creating the season, and I know Jen has a bit to say about it as well.
Hi, I'm Jen Ponton, and I play Tumnus. Tumnus is a computer program that Ashwini has created. They are essentially managing and overseeing the moon base operations. Tumnus, as with pretty much anything you can imagine Ashwini makes, is created from the pith and substance of Ashwini's favorite things: fantasy, kink, sci-fi, and just a whole breadth of nerd trivia that certainly rivals anything that I have on my own corporeal existence on Earth. We have a lot of surprises in store for you this season with Tumnus, but probably one of the most fun things has been the break in setup. Moonbase Theta Out is an almost exclusively monologuing platform for the characters who are involved, obviously most of all Roger, and all through season one, as he spoke about Ashwini talking to yourself, ultimately you figure out exactly who Ashwini's talking to, because Z is not quite alone there in Zir's office. I'm very excited to reveal to you all of the wonderful things that we've got coming to you this season, and it's been such a delight working with this team. I hope you love it.
So, there's a little introduction to each member of the main Season 2 cast. Of course, these aren't the only folks you're going to meet this season. We have some exciting guest stars coming in, some voices from Earth, some from the past, some that may or may not actually exist in our reality. So join myself, Lehman, Gabrielle, Tina, Cass, Elisa, Toe, Jen, and all those other voices in Moonbase Theta Out Season 2. Coming August 18th on monkeymanproductions.com and everywhere you listen to your podcasts. Add us to your apps, follow us on Twitter and Facebook under Monkey Man Productions, and if you really want behind-the-scenes access and to help make the show a possible thing, maybe even look for us on Patreon. This is DJ Silvis, founder of The Feast, wishing you a fond farewell, and this time I'll be the one to say it, Moonbase Theta Out.
The Fable and Folly Network, where fiction producers flourish.
Dum-Dums and Dice would like to welcome you into the Mythos Mysteries, a live play Pulp Cthulhu podcast where improvisers and comedians venture into dangers beyond their wildest imagining. Our story begins with two erstwhile companions on a long and winding road. They think they are fleeing danger, but greater horror awaits them when they arrive. For they are not just running away from mortal danger, but towards the Mythos Mysteries.
Whoever you are, we're not scared of you.
You hear a voice from inside that says, "Please, help. I'm inside the dresser, help."
Now I need you to listen to my very explicit instructions here, Adrian.
Okay.
Please ready your punch and fists.
Yeah, they're always ready.
Now I'm gonna open the door.
Okay.
And we're gonna look inside the dresser.
What if we don't? Could we not?
I need you to be brave for me.
Okay.
You were always very brave.
Okay. So we're going to open the door and you're going to look in the dresser. And yes. Then what?
And then if I tell you to,
yep,
we're going to punch it.
The dresser? You said I had to be very, you said explicit.
If there is someone in the dresser.
I'm punching.
We're going to punch him.
What if it's a ghost?
Well, then we're going to have ourselves a fun time. So,
like a party?
Like a birthday party.
Okay, so we'll do some dancing and there will be a cake. Hopefully the ghost brought it.
Yes.
Okay, I can do this.
Okay. I'm going to open the door now.
Okay.
I'm going to open the door.
You open the door and the dresser is back upright. All the drawers are back inside. But now it is next to the window. And the bed is in a different corner.
Of course it is.
And the blood is pooling on the floor instead of the ceiling. It's dripping up.
The Mythos Mysteries. Episodes are available now.